So, the topic for today is happiness. You know, because I do a lot of interviews, talking with people, and well, let me begin. So there's a, everybody know who Thich Nhat Hanh is, quite well known. He's a founding teacher here. So he says things like, it is possible to live happily in the here and now. So many conditions of happiness are available, more than enough for you to be happy right now. You don't have to run away into the future to get more. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? And yet, how many of us really understand that and know how to practice that, know how to literally live that? Not easy. Be yourself. This is another quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. Be yourself. Life is precious as it is. All the elements for your happiness are already here. There's no need to run, to strive, to search, or struggle. Just be. Letting go gives us freedom, and freedom is the only condition for happiness. Is everything clear? Can I end the talk and you've gotten your money's worth today? And so it sounds so wonderful, right? His teachings are very wonderful. It's very interesting. You know, in my early career in Buddhism, until I met Thich Nhat Hanh, I never heard the word happiness. It's very interesting. You know, we would talk about awakening, freedom, liberation. We would talk the third noble truth, the cessation of suffering. We would, you know, teach about love and compassion. But happiness was never talked about. I think there was an understanding in traditional Buddhism that if one eradicated all the causes of one's suffering, then naturally one would be happy, which is interesting. And I think it's very profound, because what it's saying is happiness. And again, happiness, what does happiness mean? Well, just let's just close our eyes a second. So ask yourself, well, before we think, just ask yourself, how do I know that I'm happy? If you've ever been happy in your life, hopefully you've had experiences of happiness, whatever that means to you. How do you know you're happy? As opposed to being sad or angry or scared, or how do you know you're happy? This is very personal, very subjective. How do you know you're happy? Just close your eyes, and really, it's more of a feeling state question. How do I really know I'm happy? I mean, we might say this really makes me happy, but there must be some experience that I'm having that I'm able to say, oh, I'm happy. And again, happiness is it's a subjective word. Maybe they have different meanings, but I'm not getting to the meaning now. I'm just asking, how do you know you're happy? When you have experiences that you say are happy, or in your day you're happy, what are you actually experiencing? So thank you. You can open your eyes. Anybody just, or everybody just, what, shout out a word. How do you know you're happy? Or a couple, what? You feel content. And so, but when you're content, what are you feeling? Relaxed. So you're relaxed. Okay, so now we're getting into it. You know, we're relaxed. Well, hold on, let's slow down. And then somebody said, we're open. We're not, there are no barriers up, right? There are no walls. We're open, we're relaxed. We're aware, we're very present to what's going on. What?
Absence of craving.
Well, we're not there yet. I'm going to ask about how do we know we're unhappy. What? We feel connected to a person, to a situation, to nature, to the beach. What, you know, we feel connected. Yeah, capable, competent. That gives you happiness. Yes, online? Lightness, yeah, light. We're not heavy. Good, lightness.
And we have peace.
Peaceful, contentment, right? We're not.
Rosie is light and open.
Light and open.
And nothing's,
nothing's hanging in the mind. All right.
And, Kage is secure.
And what?
Kage is secure.
Secure? Some
desiring.
Not desiring. All right. So I think, do we get the picture? All right, so just ask yourself, you know, those whatever the words that resonated to you, how much of my life am I happy? Am I in this state of open, relaxed, contentment, ease, well-being, as a feeling state? Anybody say 100%? No. We would say what? And again, you know, I mean, you know, we interact, we go to work, we do all the things we do, but this is asking, you know, as I'm going through this, am I, mind state, is it happy? Am I happy? And again, I'm glad that nobody talked about blissed out, joyful, you know, because that's, I think, you know, that's sort of the hallmark, you know, the hallmark card kind of sense of happy. Yeah. What do you think? A lot of the time? Not much of the time? 80%. Good for you.
For me, it's like a spectrum. It's always there, but sometimes it's there more than others.
Mm-hmm.
So I can sense happiness underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ask yourself, am I, as I go through my day, is there an inner contentment? I mean, am I happy? Happy at home, happy at work, happy as I go about the world, happy as I interact, relate. Am I coming from a place? And happiness is this, we're just using it as a coverall for lots of different feeling states. On the other hand, how many of us would sort of go, well, it'd be nice to spend most of the day being happy, again, not blissed out, not bubbly, you know, I mean, those are kind of personality things, but just having a sense of well-being and contentment and openness and presence. And does that sound good? Yeah, sounds very good. Yeah. Close your eyes again, please. How do you know you're unhappy? Again, as a feeling state. Not happy. Again, just take a subjective inventory. How do you know you're unhappy? Not happy. And again, when I'm saying not happy, I'm not meaning like depressed or anything. I mean, it could mean that, but you're just not in a, however you define happiness, you're not in that state. You're unhappy, you're not happy. What is that like for you? So again, I'd ask you to just say out loud, how do you know you're unhappy? Or you're not in a state of happiness? Your inner feeling is
constricted,
uneasy,
angry,
craving, desiring, wanting,
ruminating,
restless,
what?
Insecure, not feeling stable, safe,
yeah.
What else?
Agitated.
What?
Agitated.
Disconnected.
Pausing.
What?
Pausing. Tense.
Tense. Discontent. There we are. So, you know, when I introduced the meditation this morning, I presented it as a shift of attention. Right? So in the Buddha's path, having a certain degree of mindful awareness, having a certain degree of being able to focus and give attention to, is really considered essential for the cultivation of happiness. Because, as we just openly shared, left to our own devices, we might just look at our life and see it's a mixed bag, right? Happy, unhappy. And the cause, and if I asked you the reason you leave happiness and enter the world of not being happy, what's causing that? Why are you agitated? What's agitating you? Yeah, external world. What's making you angry? External world. What's making you feel not safe? External world. Right. If you think about all those kinds of things that, you know, worry us, anger us, make us sad, most of it is about what is occurring, has occurred, we're afraid will occur in the external world, right? I.e., life. Does that sound right? Yeah. So it's very, and again, we live in a culture that is always giving us the message to be externally driven, right? Right? We live in a culture that tells us we will be happy if we what? Right, if we attain money, achieve, get, right? What? It's always later, always wanting, always better, always needing, you know. Oh, you've achieved your goals, time to make up new goals. Don't be satisfied, right? You know, I read somewhere that Netflix said, and of course the devices, Netflix said one of its biggest competitors is human beings' need for sleep. No, I read that's secondhand. I didn't look at the research, but I don't know what they were quoting, but I thought that was interesting, right? So that tells us that we have a whole culture that is always calling us out, right? You have a little spare time, why don't you what? What? Watch TV, well, you check your email, check your program, or, you know, learn something. Take a course somewhere. Learn a new skill, get a new degree. I'm not being negative about that, but it's always saying, oh, if you have time, why don't you put it to good use? Right?
If you have time, why don't you put it to good use externally? Externally.
Right.
Is that called hacking? Is somebody trying to hack into this talk? And stand to be corrected.
Didi, you know, just to make it so that they can't unmute themselves. Got it.
Thank you. You see what just happened? There was something that was going on that was interfering with our harmony and happiness here, right? And so we asked Didi to what? Please mute. Now that's sort of like meditation. We're not muting, but we're shifting attention away. And so
I'm gonna make sure Pranee's eating and
you'd listen. I'll go make sure.
Okay. I tried to shut both doors, but
whoops. Should I use participant or chat?
And part of, you know, it's good to have good spiritual friends to help us, by the way.
Was she in there?
Because sometimes we may just not have the answer.
She wants to be out here with us, but she wants.
So. You know, I don't want to dismiss worldly happiness. I think worldly happiness is very important because we are lay people and we live in the world, right? We have lives, we have relationships, right? We interact. So I think it's very important that we become very conscious and aware and mindful and concentrated about the way we interact with the world and the things we do, and to make sure that they are really giving us happiness in the way that you define them. Contentment, peace of mind, openness, warmth, relaxation, right? Is that clear? So this is not, you know, this is not just a meditative path, like, you know, forget about the world, there's no pleasure out there, just, you know, meditate. No, we're not saying that. I think it's very helpful that we become a lot more conscious about the choices we make and the things we do. And, you know, especially if we see that so much of our energy is going to things that essentially are not really creating a sense of well-being in us. Right? And especially if we're busy, time becomes very precious in how we use our time, how we use our downtime. Because again, happiness doesn't just happen. Happiness is something we cultivate. Unhappiness is something we cultivate. Is that true? Right? How do we cultivate unhappiness? We all do it. How do we cultivate unhappiness?
Focus on the negative,
right? Wanting things to be different, you know, focusing on what's wrong, what's missing, what's not right. We have expectations of how things should be, and then they're not how they should be, and yeah. We ruminate about the past, we worry, we anticipate, we fantasize about the future, we're constantly desiring something in the future. And we do that because we don't feel that what we're experiencing right now has the conditions for our happiness, right? So we're always kind of fantasizing, planning, looking forward to something that we think will give us happiness, right? Now, I think one of the key things that we need to understand, you know, for those of us who lead a worldly life, which we all do, is everything is changing. So it is normal for things to go well and for things not to go well. It's normal to have success and failure. It's normal for people to like us and not to like us. It's normal for things to have beginnings and to have ends. It's normal for there to be pleasure and there to be lack of pleasure. Right? It's normal to have gain and to have loss. But for many people, those normal parts of life, when we look at the big picture, become sources of suffering, unhappiness to us, right? Because there's a whole range of experience we don't want to experience, do we? You see? And there's a whole range of experience that we want to experience. And so we're always working very hard to get it right, right? And that's a lot of the source of our lack of ease, that we are not able to find happiness or a state of contentment or well-being as we go through all the changes of life, right? The gain and the loss, the coming together and the parting, the pleasure, the pain, But if that's all we're consumed with, then it's very difficult to maintain any sense of consistent happiness. This is the problem if we are totally focused on worldly happiness. It's impossible to be happy all the time. Has anybody ever found that everything always works for them? No? Really? You mean things don't always work the way you want? Pleasure doesn't last forever? Pleasurable experiences don't last forever? Happy relationships don't stay happy forever, right? The dream job doesn't become, after a time, the dream job, right? So I think it's very important, as a condition for cultivating a deeper sense of happiness, is that there be an understanding and acceptance and a kind of adaptability and resiliency in ordinary life. I would say this is a strong precondition for building, you know, this kind of happiness that we seek. You know, we have to have this kind of inner strength, courage, not be afraid, to be in life, with all its ups and downs, successes and failures, you know, all the things we can talk about, and to understand that this is the way it is. Nothing lasts forever. Everything is changing according to causes and conditions, and that doesn't scare me. Is there a lot of anxiety in this world? A lot of fear? A lot of people anxious? Right? Chronic, pervasive. Some chronically, some situationally. But why is that? Because I think people don't feel they have the skills and ability to be resilient and adaptable and deal with whatever is. I think when one cultivates those skills and has that inner strength or that kind of courage, which sounds kind of bizarre, you know, usually we think of courage as what? You know, soldiers, or, you know what I mean, or going into dangerous situations, but I think these days it takes a certain degree of courage, because so many people, I think I've told this story, there's a Tibetan teacher I know who had been teaching Americans, probably for 10 or 15 years, and we had a good connection, he knew my teacher in India, and so we were sort of like Dharma brothers or something. So he was, even though I was American, he was kind of open with me. And so he'd been teaching for 15 years. And one day he said to me, I have a question for you, something that's really confusing me, but I haven't wanted to ask anybody. And I said, oh, well, what's that? He says, what is anxiety? He said, you know, so many of my students, they've talked for years about anxiety. What is it? He said, I know fear, you know, like there's really a dangerous situation, or, you know, there's really something directly threatening you. You know, I know fear, but this anxiety seems to be something else. What is it? And I thought that was very meaningful to me, because he talked about, he came from a culture where that kind of fear about just life, you know what I mean? You know, not the saber-toothed tiger, not, you know, but just life, life situations brought up this fear response, this anxious response in so many of his students. And he was always too embarrassed or didn't want to be rude to go, you know, like, what are you talking about? You know, because it obviously was something that was very real to people. So I say that just to give us some context, because I think in our culture, we accept, you know, the pervasiveness of these afflictive mind states that are fundamentally robbing us of our capacity to be happy. Right. So on the road to happiness, we have to be aware of the roadblocks and the habitual ways of our mind that are preventing us from accessing those situations, those places within ourselves that can nurture happiness. Why don't I just stop now? Is that clear before we go into the next part? Are there any questions about this? Like questions? Anybody have a... Well, I just did now. I said, well, Americans, you know, in their minds, they worry. They have fear about lots of things. They have fear about the future. They have fear about how things are going to turn out. They're always, you know, worried about, you know, do people like me, or how are people going to respond to me, or how people, you know. So I spent time explaining it to him. Oh, he said, oh, and he was sort of like absent in his culture, Tibetan culture. He didn't sense that they really thought that way. Anyhow, so. Any other questions about what's been said? Anything not sit right?
And we'll be passing around the microphone in the hall and online. You can chat it in, and Dee Dee will.
I mean, I'm going to go on, but I just wanted to know, I want to make sure we're all sort of moving together on this one, because this is very important. You know. People want to be happy. Everybody, you know, it's like a fundamental, you know, everybody wants to be happy. Nobody wants to suffer. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh makes it sound so easy. So it's all right here, you know, just, but I think I'm talking about these other things first, because I think there's got to be some sort of change in how we approach life that will allow us to really understand and devote time and energy and focus to what he's talking about. And a lot of it is just all the things that pull us away from these wholesome mind states. Yes.
Okay, so, all right, I'm gonna try to word this in a way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm finding in my everyday life that I have a hard time differentiating between, you know, particularly if I'm having a really good day and I'm happy, and I question myself a lot on everything, pretty much. Am I really happy, or am I just pushing everything aside and ignoring it and pretending like it's not there? So I feel happy, but I'm not really happy. And
well, let's So I would say, you know, again, there's no mystery. If you're feeling relaxed, open, content, warm, at ease, positive mind state, you know, all that good stuff, you're happy. Okay, so that happiness is genuine. But if that happiness is created by artificially kind of keeping everything out, then it's a very precarious happiness. But I'd still say that's happiness. So, I mean, I want to talk to you today about happiness and how to create happiness, okay? But I think, you know, happiness is happiness, okay? Anybody ever been angry? Right. So anger is anger. You know, the context may be changing. The context may be different, different, you know, every world different. The situations are different. The cultures are different. But anger is anger. You know, there's some universal, you know, happiness is happiness. Fear is fear. Sadness is sadness. Right. And it's very important that we know, you know, that we know them and identify them. But again, I think the question is, how do I cultivate this in a way that is not dependent on keeping everything else out? Right? Because that's eventually going to break down, as you know. And for anybody who's worked, you know, their life, their emotional life, by walling off and denial and, you know, and repressing, unfortunately, that takes a lot of energy. You know, it takes a lot of energy. And that energy that you're putting into walling off really robs you of your capacity to really be putting your energy into things that are wholesome. You know, I would say another part, you know, before we get to happiness, we will get there, but I think I'm actually teaching next week, so if we don't finish, we'll, you know, is... Yeah, is developing the skill to process suffering. You know, I think this is very important. You know, this is sort of where I was saying earlier, we need kind of courage, right? And we need resiliency and we need adaptability, you know, sort of in life. But I think we also need that on our in our inner life, right? Many people How many people enjoy afflictive mind states? No, nobody enjoys them?
I think we do.
You think you enjoy them?
Sometimes, yeah. We call them for ourselves. I think we do enjoy them. We enjoy the drama.
It really makes you happy? Think about that. We may do it a lot, and we may be conditioned to do it, habituated to do it, but if you put it in the context of what we're saying today was when you're in the drama and you're ruminating the drama and playing the drama, are you content? Are you relaxed? Are you see? Yeah. So I would grant you're saying there's a certain habituation that is that, you know, we seem to have this proclivity. We love to dwell on negatives. Has anybody ever noticed that? You know, give me a negative situation or a negative interaction, I will work it for hours. I mean, it's fascinating, but perverse, right? And yet, we can go through the day and all the good things, that, you know, we just, oh, okay. You know what I mean? We don't spend a lot of time cultivating them and going over them. But give me something that's not working or somebody's showing up in a way that I don't want to show up, and what? Right on it. Yeah. So again, meditation is learning to shift attention. But again, on the way there, I certainly would say that we need to develop the skills that we can process the same way we can be adaptable to dealing with life. Good situations, bad situations, situations that go our way, situations that don't go our way, people who act the way we want them to act, people that don't act the way we want them to act. You know, all the world, you know, we need the resiliency and the adaptability that we can show up in the world and deal with whatever, right? That's very important for happiness. So we're not thrown about. But I think it's equally important, in the same way that we learn how to process the world, that we learn how to process our own afflictive emotions. Anybody disagree? Okay. Let's just stop for a second. You know, we could. You know, we can move through these things quickly and sort of get them intellectually, but we don't really get them deeply. So let's take a few moments just to reflect on what we've talked about so far. I'm asking you each to reflect in your own mind. We looked at the feeling states of what it feels like for each of us and heard from others to, you know, that when we're happy, what is that inner feeling like? When we're unhappy, what is that inner feeling like? We took an inventory of our day, of our life, and asked ourselves, how much time do I spend being happy? And how much time do I spend being not happy, dwelling in other kinds of mind states? We talked about how conscious am I in my life to do things that really nourish and support my happiness, and to not doing things that nurture and support my not being happy, which could include all the things we consume, including people, relationships, shows, social media. You know, the world is so much bigger now in terms of what we can access. So as I go through my day, is there any kind of conscious awareness that I want to be nurturing in my activities, my relationships, those things as much as I can that support and nourish happiness, well-being, contentment within me? Or do I really not? We talked about the quality of resiliency and adaptability. Have I really cultivated that ability to move through the world, the ups and downs of the world, situations? Adjusting as needed, but without always being thrown too rigid, putting up barriers and walls. And I use the word courage. Am I willing to enter the world as it is and learn to be adaptable and resilient? And then we talked about the same way in our inner world. Are we willing to really be present to ourselves and our emotions, even our afflictive emotions, our wounds or whatever? Learn how to be present, take care of. Do I cultivate mindfulness and concentration, focus? You know, when there's really a job to be done, we have to focus, don't we? We have to concentrate. We have to put our attention on it. We all know that. There are all areas of our life where we use those skills. But in this personal area of my own happiness or not happiness, do I approach my own life, my own well-being, with the same focus and concentration and intentionality that I bring to other areas of my life, such as my work or projects that I do, or, you know, skills that I'm building, or sports or exercise or music, you know, all the things we do that we bring, again, focus, presence, to this whole area of my own happiness and well-being and inner mind and life, do I approach it in the same way? Do I really use those skills, those abilities, those competencies that I have in these other areas of my life? Do I bring them into my inner life? The world of emotions, the world of feelings. The world of decision making and choices. Knowing wholesome from unwholesome, healthy from not healthy. We're trying to learn to play a musical instrument. We know the difference between hitting the right note and hitting the wrong note. And we also are disciplined that if we hit the wrong note, to immediately hit the right note. Is that the way we approach our life, our relationships? We're very clear what we want the right notes to be, and when we're a little off, we know we're hitting the wrong note. How do we know we're off? We've lost that inner ease, that inner contentment. Do I investigate? Do I look into that? Yeah. Just take a moment just to reflect yourself. You've heard so far, what it means to you. Again, and don't feel, if you're coming up a little short, don't feel bad. You know, in our culture, the inner world or the inner pursuit of happiness is not talked about, is it really? It's beginning to be. It's all, you know, traditionally about checking off the boxes. Got this, get that. When all the right boxes are checked, then we're supposed to be happy. Thich Nhat Hanh says, it is possible to live happily in the here and now. So let's just stop there. Anybody know what the here and now is? This is the here and now. Okay? Wherever you are in the moment is the here and now. This is very important. It's right here. It's right now. That's time and space. Here is space, now is time. Here and now. Okay. So it means happiness cannot be found in the past. Happiness cannot be found in the future if you want real happiness. Happiness can only be found in the here and now. This is still the here and now, even though it's a minute after the last here and now. Is that clear? The here and now is always here and now. Time changes, right? Past and future are constructs. But the here and now is right now. Happiness is available, the conditions for happiness are available right now. Now, what does this do to all this endless ruminating about the past and anticipating the future and going over all this stuff in our minds? Is that where happiness is? No. So that's very much we have to let go of that. If I want to be happy, I need to learn to be happy right now. Right? If I think, oh, I can't be happy now, I got too much to do. Right? But when I get everything done, when I get everything done, then I'll have time to be happy. Or else we'll think, some people are happy just when they get their to-do list done. It gives them a momentary happiness, right? They feel great. And then what do? Make a new to-do list, right? And start all over. Okay. So this is very important. If we want to learn to cultivate happiness at a deeper level, at an inward level, that is not subject to the external conditions. Now again, if you're at a funeral, should you be happy? Interesting. If you're visiting somebody in the hospital, should you be happy? Think about it. If you're in the presence of somebody who's suffering, should you be happy? Why not? I mean, it doesn't mean you're telling jokes. Right? Okay. But it means even in difficult times, you can still have an inner equanimity and calmness and a state of well-being that is going through the difficult time. It's not thrown by the difficult time because it knows sometimes life will be difficult. Is that true? Yeah. When you hear about somebody just gave birth to a baby, how do you feel? Happy. When you heard somebody has died or is in the hospital, how do you feel? Sad. But in all that, there can still be this inner sense of contentment and well-being. Because when you go to a funeral, how do you want to show up for the people who've lost? How do you want to show up? What? Gratitude? Present? Supportive? Loving? Kind? Right? When you go visit somebody in the hospital, how do you want to show up? Scared? Angry? Depressed? No, we want to show up with all the qualities. Again, I'm just trying to get away from happiness being like Hallmark, Okay, but it's a deeper sense. So everybody know what the here and now are. So many conditions for happiness are here right now. You don't have to run in the future. So what are we doing right now that is nurturing our happiness? What? We're slowing down. We're being present. We've done some meditation on things that help calm us and quiet us, right? Becoming more aware, practicing focus. We're in community. When I was Googling happiness, and there were probably like 25 billion possibilities there, there was some Harvard study, they followed people about happiness for 30 years. Guess what they found out? That the one thing that was highest up for what supported people's happiness in life, guess what it was? Relationships, right? Not money, not success, not all that stuff. Relationships, connection, community. Yeah. So we're here in community. We're together. We're with other people, like-minded people who are interested in these things. So, do we have right now all the conditions we need to be happy right now? Not tomorrow. Right? This is very important. If we think, I need to get all the conditions today so I can be happy tomorrow, you won't be happy tomorrow. How can you be happy tomorrow? Happiness always arises in the present. Right? I mean, we're only alive in the present moment. So how do we learn to cultivate and find always the conditions, no matter where we are, wherever we are, in the here and now, we can cultivate this kind of happiness. Moment to moment. So some of the things we practice here, we practice learning just to be mindful and present to wherever we are, to connect to wherever we are. When we did the meditation on body breath, you know what we were doing? Connecting, remember? Connection. Connection with our own body. Connection with our own awareness. Right? We were connecting. When we look around and we see other people, what are we doing? We're connecting. So, you know, when we look out the window and we see the trees and we see the bamboo and we see the blue sky, we are connecting in the present moment with nature. Do many people feel being in nature makes them happy? Right, that's one of the big ones. Right? Nature's all around us, always. Do we connect with it? Right? When we walk out here, do we notice the blue sky and smile? Wow, beautiful blue sky. Trees, people. Connect. Get out of our heads. Many of us, our heads are not good places to hang out in, are they? Because in our heads, what are we connecting with so much of the time? What? Future thinking, past regrets, worry, concerned about how other people perceive us. You see, that's connecting too. But what are we connecting to? Things that nourish us, things that give us wholesomeness? No. Am I connected to my daily life? If you ever read Thich Nhat Hanh, he writes rhapsodically about brushing his teeth after every meal. Can you believe it? Connecting. When he brushes his teeth, he's just brushing his teeth, he's connected. I mean, we have opportunities to connect. When we walk, we learn. What is walking mindfully? It's being, I am connected to the experience I'm having right now of walking, what it feels like to walk. I'm connecting to my breath. And those kind of connections, if we take the time to do them, how do they feel? They get, right? Calming, centering, grounding. Okay. So learning to connect to the present moment and all the things that are arising in the present moment that nurture wholesomeness, contentment, is part of this learning, this art of being happy. But there are other kinds of things that we can do internally. Well, we'll talk more about this next week. But anybody ever here ever feel grateful for anything? You have? When you feel grateful to a person, a situation, whatever, how do you feel? What? How do you feel? Terrible? What? Good. When you're practicing ingratitude. I can't believe that person didn't, you know, thank me for the gift, or I can't believe the person didn't acknowledge me, or I can't believe, you know what I mean? Or, you know, why do all the good things happen to this person and not me? How do you feel? Bad. Unhappy. Gratitude is something that we can do always. Grateful for being alive, grateful for having eyes. Just think, could we be blind? Could we not see the world? Could we not see other people? Yes. Grateful that we can hear. You see, we listen to music, right? And we like the music, but we never think, I can only hear the music because I have ears at work. Wow, how wonderful to have ears that hear, eyes that see, nose that smell, tongue that tastes, body that feels. Do we think this way? Not enough. But cultivating gratitude is a very simple way of cultivating happiness. It's an immediate, you know, it feels good. So many things. Cultivating loving thoughts, compassionate thoughts, thinking of others. How do you feel when you think about somebody you care about, or just somebody you don't care about, and you think, gee, I wonder what I could do today to help them, you know, to be of support to them. Or think about somebody you maybe know and going through a hard time, and you think, maybe I should call them or reach out to them. How do you feel when you think that way? Terrible? How do you feel? Good? Content? How do you feel when you only think about yourself and your problems and your issues and what's not going right for you? How do you feel? What? Terrible. Now, sounds easy, right? And it's very clear. I mean, I think this is very important that we have the map of how to do this, but then we need skills, you know, mindfulness, concentration, you know, so we can keep our mind on track, so we can remember this, because we want to change. For many of us, this cultivation of happiness in the present moment, knowing it's always available to us, knowing, you know, Thay says here, letting go gives us freedom, and freedom is the only condition for happiness. That's our freedom. Anybody ever here have a negative mind state? What? Did we ever think about when we were in that negative mind state, I could let go of this. It's only going on in my head. Right? Nobody else in the world, 8 billion people, nobody else knows what's going on. This is my own little personal performance. Do you know that you have the freedom to let go? It's a very powerful freedom. I don't have to cultivate this. And then the other freedom is I can choose what I want to cultivate in my mind. That's freedom. That's inner freedom. But it's really the basis of really transformation, is knowing that I have this freedom. Whatever my mind has been conditioned to, whatever I'm used to doing, if I become conscious and aware, and I know what's going on, I can go unwholesome. Let go. Just let go. Anybody ever kind of had a negative mindset going for a while, and at some point they just let go, got sick of it? What? Yeah. Right? It was funny when I was a therapist and people would come in with their issues, and I'd sometimes say to them, you know, at some point you're going to let go of this. Right? Now, you have a choice. Do you want to let go of, you know, you want to let go of this a year from now? 3 years from now? A month from now? Or do you want to let go of it today? They look at you like, But it's really that simple. You know, at some point you're going to let go of this. You know, why not do it today and be free? It's an interesting challenge, isn't it? We have all kinds of reasons for holding on, don't we? Be yourself. Life is precious as it is. All the elements for your happiness are already here. There's no need to run, strive, search, or struggle. Just be here, consciously. So thank you very much. Again, I'll be probably continuing next week, more elaborating on this cultivation of happiness side of life, more practical way, discussing with you. But please reflect if there's anything that's been meaningful or helpful or challenging or disturbing to you. You know, don't just move on. You see, this kind of introspection, reflection is really important. Because again, why? Because our world is so busy, and you know, people here may be reflecting, and then you go outside and you pick up your phone, you check your texts, your emails, latest news, and we're off. We forget. So this, well, I think you get it. Thank you all for coming, listening.